Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel. Alex Salmond died yesterday, a news which was not unwelcomed by me. He died at the age of 69. So people hadn't seen this coming. He seemed to be in rude health for a man of his years. So that's him gone, who was a titan in the movement of Scottish separatism, who led the Scottish National Party for 10 years, who was first, sorry, 20 years, who was first minister for Scotland for 10 years, and really the dominant figure in Scottish separatism for really the latter half of his life. So love him or loathe him, and I'm in the loathe him camp, you know, I have to take my hat off to him for his accomplishments. Now, his dream of breaking up the United Kingdom never came true, and looks like it shall never come true, but he gave it a bloody good try, and he came quite close. He did implement some of his policies, so I have to doff my hat to him for his resilience, his indefatigability, and, yeah, well, staying power, endeavour. And scumbag though he was, evil man in some ways, I don't doubt his sincerity. He wasn't that dishonest for a politician. So he stuck at it and he largely said what he believed, and he achieved some success. So he's accomplished far more than most people. So he gets some unwilling respect from me, I regret to say. Goodness, what about him? So he's born in Linlithgow, this small town in central Scotland with its historic Linlithgow Palace, and maybe that shaped his subconscious when he was very small, near that palace where Mary Queen of Scots was born. He said was his mother was a dyed-in-the-wool Labour voter, his father was a Conservative voter who idolised Sir Winston Churchill. So bear in mind, Salmond was born not so long after the Second World War. The United Kingdom did so much more together. The idea of even devolution for Scotland, never mind complete separation, was seen as pie in the sky. There'd been that big Scots Covenant about 1949, and all but one MP for Scotland completely rejected it, despite it being signed by about 40% of the Scots population, adult population, saying, we want home rule for Scotland. In all loyalty to the crown, definitely per se the United Kingdom, but devolution. And Westminster said, absolutely not, no, nay, never, unconditional, no. And then it went. And the SNP was seen as a lunatic fringe. So he did well at school, went to St Andrews University, probably North Britain's second most illustrious university. And he was a member of the Labour Party briefly. And he said he was dating an English undergraduate. And he mouthed off about how dissatisfied he was with the Labour Party in the early 70s. And she said, well, if you feel that way about it, why don't you join the SNP? He said, so I will. So he did. Now, maybe the SNP was in the up and up. One of the constant refrains against Scotland leaving the United Kingdom was, will you be economically bust? But then there was North Sea oil. Then the riposte to that was, it's our oil. Remember, the United Kingdom seemed to be a prolonged crisis, possibly even its death throes in the early 70s, with the Ulster conflict exploding, with stagnation, inflation, the country constantly in paralysis due to strikes and so forth, indecisive election results. Not quite got into the European economic communities that then was, decolonization was apace, and all the rest of it. And indeed, the whole free world was doing badly in the Cold War. So he joined the SNP when it was on the up and up, and they had a phenomenal result in 1974, I think it was the February election, because they'd had they'd never had anyone elected a general election, a few by-election wins, but then they got 14 MPs out of Scotland's 70 delegation to Westminster. And so there was a breakthrough. But then there was that March 1979 referendum, should there be Scottish devolution? And James Callaghan's Labour government said, but we'll only implement it if 40% of registered voters say yes. Yeah. So over 50% of the votes were yes to this. But because of lower turnout of registered voters, it's more like 35%. So it didn't go ahead. And the SNP said, Scotland voted yes. This is unfair. You've rigged the system to count not voting as a no vote. Anyway, so then they went into prolonged decline. They lost all but two of their MPs in 1979. Salmond was part of a faction called the 79 Group, which was seen as being ultra-nationalistic, even speaking to Sinn Féin, who were part of a terrorist movement in Northern Ireland, carrying out sectarian and racist murders, often of Scots people. You know, mainstream Scots opinion, and indeed much of the SNP said, we can't have anything to do with that. That's vile. But he was allowed back into the party. He was a Royal Bank of Scotland economist specialising in oil. He said, all these bean counters claim that the union is economically beneficial for Caledonia. That's a big fat lie. We're better off if we split. We subsidize South Britain and not the other way around. So turn the Hadrian's Wall into an international border. And he was also an ardent Europhile. And the SNP was very divided on this question, because what's the point of leaving the United Kingdom to join a wider union of countries which are much more foreign to you? Remember these days, the European Economic Union was only 12 countries. Well, by the mid-80s, it was 12 countries. It was not sort of the EU's 27 as it is today. But anyway, he was elected to Parliament for Bantford Buchan in 1987. One was of only three SNP politicians at the time. And very soon he made a name for himself, only about 5 months in Parliament, when he savaged the then Chancellor of Exchequer, constantly interrupting the budgets being read out. So he got some notoriety for that, was expelled from the House of Commons and so forth. So yeah, he led them through the difficult 90s when Labour was on the up and up, but devolution became popular. There's a claim of right in 1989 when all the Labour MPs for Scotland, except Tam DL, the Liberal Democrats, as they soon became, the SNP said, yeah, we should have devolution. The Conservatives refused to. So most people want devolution, not separation from the UK, simply devolution within the United Kingdom. And obviously Labour came into office and voted that through. There was a referendum in 97. So devolution came back. But George Robertson, the Labour politician, said this will kill nationalism stone dead. Couldn't have been more wrong. And obviously Labour disappointed. The SNP squeaked a win in the 2007 Holyrood elections by one member of the Scottish Parliament, a minority administration, then winning quite handily, been in office for 17 years. And previously, Salmond said that Caledonia was a Labour one-party state, which was a dangerous lie. But OK, Labour dominated because it was a free country. Labour was popular back then. They're popular again. So he was First Minister of Scotland. Remember, he stood down in 2000 as leader of the Scottish National Party, let John Swinney took over. But after a dismal election results, Swinney, a leftist within the party, was persuaded to resign. And Salmond, he'd remained a member of the Scottish Parliament, came back as leader and led them for a further 10 years. And his dream came true, the 2014 election, because David Cameron, then Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, said that if the SNP won a majority of the Holyrood elections again, he would allow a referendum on Scotland splitting up to the United Kingdom. And he said he may have bricked himself because it would look quite close. And the opinion polls are showing that the separatists would get, 47% of the vote. I said that when they get 45% of the vote, and I was bang on, slightly overestimated it. So that was it. He stood down. Salmond stood down as First Minister for Scotland. Nicola Sturgeon took over. They then found out very badly indeed. Some years later, allegations of sexual impropriety by him, that he'd molested women, even allegations going so far as rape. And right before the coronavirus lockdown, he was in trial. I was in Edinburgh, and I met one of his stalwart admirers, Craig Murray, outside that Court of High Justiciary in Eld Riki. Anyway, Mr. Salmond was acquitted on all charges. So in a long and happy marriage, he married a woman considerably older himself, but they were unable to have children. So he's been called to his reward. So a man who was an advocate of violence against children, an absolutely vile man in that sense, somewhat respectable in other senses. That was it. And it wasn't a dressy nationalist, wasn't into wearing a kilt, said he was Scotland's leading Anglophile, said we have no truck with anti-English racialism. So where was he on Caledonia? Why wasn't he speaking up for Caledonia's separation? So yeah, he died very suddenly at 69. He found his own party, Alaba, when he left the Scottish National Party, Alaba being the Gaelic word for Scotland. So that's it. He leaves the stage. And perhaps ironically, he was at a conference in North Macedonia, a country which broke away from the former Yugoslavia, is now trying to get into the European Union, when he died very suddenly. And there are people who said that the allegations of sex crimes against him was just part of some SNP plot. There are also some allegations against his sometime right-hand woman, successor and latterly nemesis, Nicola Sturgeon. What did she know and when did she know it? So that is Mr. Salmond. He's been called to his reward. Well, good riddance. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.